This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Strike three called. It's a perfect night for Bryce Jarvis. A perfect game for the Blue Devils. Jarvis is mobbed at the pitcher's mound, and Duke completes a perfect game shutout of Cornell. 8-0. Oh, sweet mercy.
Packer and Durham, oh, sweet mercy. I think that's been uttered by some executives before watching this show. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Anish filling in for Wes. That happened Friday. Our next guest, Bryce Jarvis, throws a perfect game on Cornell. Perfect. El Perfecto. 15 strikeouts. The 31st perfect game in NCAA Division I history. The 7th no-hitter in Duke history. With that said, let's bring him on. Bryce, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Good. How are you?
Good, man. First of all, congrats. In your life, how many no-hitters have you thrown?
This is the first one. Hopefully not the last.
All right, so no perfect games. I mean, no no-hitters prior to Friday.
Correct.
All right, so at what point in time as a pitcher do you sit there in the dugout, hey, you know, life's good, game's under control, nobody's probably saying a word to you, you're probably thinking about 18 trillion things. At what point in time did you realize, son of a gun, man, I got a perfect game going on here?
Yeah, you know, I would probably say it was two outs in the fifth inning. It was my first three-ball count of the game, and, you know, kind of just going through my mind was, I haven't walked anyone yet, and that's usually one of my goals when I go out and start. And so I knew, like, I wanted to get this pitch in the zone and not walk him. And it wasn't until I got back to the dugout that I looked up at the scoreboard and realized there were no hits as well or no errors. And so from then on, it was kind of, you know, all gas and no brakes, just trying to go out there and keep doing what I've been doing.
Bryce, take me into the dugout. Were guys talking to you? Were you trying to talk to guys? What's it like for a pitcher when you've got a perfect game going?
You know, usually when I start, I like to keep to myself in the dugout, and guys respect that, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. And guys were definitely leaving me to myself in the dugout. I know they were all staying in their same spots, doing whatever they had been doing all game, you know, all the standard baseball superstitions, and I appreciate them, you know, sticking to their process and helping me out there.
Now, it's my understanding that Coach Pollard, after the game, said, you know what, if somebody gets on the seventh, I'm yanking them out. Did you know that at any point in time?
I didn't know for sure. I knew they were probably going to have me on a pitch count, being the second game of the season. But, you know, my job was just to keep going out there and getting out. So, I was going to keep doing that until they didn't let me anymore. And, you know, luckily that ended up being the whole game.
You were in the other dugout when Kumar Rocker had it going for Vanderbilt last year in the NCAA tournament, throwing a no-hitter against you guys. What insight did that give you on what's happening to an opposing lineup when a pitcher has the kind of stuff that you have?
Yeah, I mean, being on the other side of that last year in the Super Regional, our guys coming back to the dugout were definitely getting frustrated and, you know, getting more and more antsy in the box. And so I knew that guys were probably going to start, you know, swinging at pitches that they might not normally, trying to get a hit or maybe trying to draw a walk, taking pitches. So honestly, just staying aggressive in the zone was my plan, and it ended up working out. I tried not to change anything as the game went on, and my pitches just kept getting better.
The strikeout to end the game for the perfect game. I noticed the catcher just sits there and slams it down and comes up and gives you the hug. Where's the ball? Who has it?
I got the ball after the game. We tracked it down. You know, fortunately, my parents were in the stands to watch the game, and I gave that to them to take home. So the ball is safe.
Now, your dad, who, of course, he's been a part of this baseball thing for a long, long time, I got to figure that had to be a pretty emotional hug afterwards.
Definitely, definitely. You know, he's my biggest supporter, biggest coach, biggest mentor. You know, I've learned so much about the game of baseball and about life in general from him. And, you know, having him and my mom in the stands to see that was extremely special and definitely something I'll never forget.
How many times did you make eye contact with them in the stands while you had the perfecto going?
None. You know, I was completely focused on the game. You know, he respects that. He knows what it's like to be in that competitive situation. We have a good understanding that, you know, we'll save connecting for after the game.
I know how superstitious baseball players are, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions. What did you have for breakfast or lunch prior to the game?
Let's see. Our pregame meal was our make-your-own sandwiches. So cold cuts in the locker room before is one of our guys' favorite pregame meals.
All right, so what'd you go with? Because I know the next time I see you on the mound, I'm going to say, that dude just had a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I'm more of a turkey guy myself. All but, yeah.
So we went turkey. Tell me, because I know, hey, your dude throws a perfect game. He's going to sit there and say, I'm not touching a thing. I'm going to do exactly the same thing every single time. It's my start.
Yeah. I mean, some of that's true. Some of it's you don't want to get too caught up in it. I'm kind of in between when it comes to the superstitions. So honestly, I think more of the pregame process of the warmups and all that is gonna help me more than what I eat, to be completely honest.
Did you know right away, hey, I've got no hit type of stuff. I've got really good stuff.
I think so. I think, you know, coming out of the pen was one of the best feelings I'd had in a long time. I turned to our pitching coach, Dusty Blake, after I finished my warmups and was like, well, everything feels like it's working. I have all four pitches. And he's like, all right, well, let's just go have a game. It's pretty rare to have all four pitches working as a pitcher. You know, you're usually lucky to have two or three and just try to go out there and do what you can with those. But, you know, when you have all four, it's a special night.
Bryce, the game on Friday got moved up earlier than anticipated. And if this is too personal of a question, you don't have to answer it. For a dude that throws a perfect game, what do you do for a perfect Friday night?
Honestly, just hung out with my family. I wanted to spend it with them, just kind of talking through it, reflecting on kind of the whole night. Like I said, I was really fortunate to have my family in the stands, and I definitely wanted to spend that moment with them.
Had your dad, in his 12 or 13 years doing this baseball thing, had he ever been associated with a perfect game?
No, I think he told me the closest he came was a one hitter when he was in college pitching at Wake Forest. So I just one-upped him.
That's great. Really cool.
2 hours and 8 minutes was the time of the game. That's unheard of in baseball these days, especially, you know, at the pro or college level. How fast did it feel for you?
Oh my gosh, it did not feel that fast at all, to be completely honest.
That was just the ninth inning. Felt 2 hours.
Yeah, I know.
Might have been the longest, shortest game in baseball for you, right?
Definitely, definitely. I'm lucky to be out there for over an hour in a normal start, and being out there for 2 hours, 2 hours plus, you know, you definitely feel it, and it felt even more like that once the game ended and you kind of had a chance to catch your breath and realize, like, holy cow, like, that just happened.
By the way, I know you guys lost your first game. You've won your last six. How good can this Duke baseball team be? Because this is a loaded, loaded conference, as you well know.
Definitely. I think, you know, we can be at the very top of the ACC and the top of college baseball. We have all the pieces in place this year, returning guys, new guys. You know, our pitching staff has been on fire lately, four straight shutouts, I think, you know, all the pieces are definitely in place to help us make a run at the College World Series this year.
And it would also seem to me, too, Bryce, the last couple of years, the deep runs in the NCAA tournament have really kind of laid the foundation for this team to get to the next level and get to Omaha.
For sure. I think, you know, the last 2 years, letting guys get that postseason experience and know what it feels like to have your season on the line on one of the biggest stages in college baseball is huge, and I think those experiences are going to help us a lot in taking it to the next level this year.
All right, well, listen, before we let you run, we do this with everybody that shows up as a student-athlete on Packer and Durham. At Duke University, the hardest class you've had so far is what?
Multivariable calculus.
Oh, yeah, I hate that class.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a real class, Bryce.
I promise you it is.
Well, we'll let you get back to work. And again, congratulations on just a sensational effort. And best of luck to your team. Like I said, we're going to do a lot of baseball on this show. And we look forward to watching you guys get after it. It's going to be a terrific year for you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Bryce Jarvis. Normally we get the guys at baseball. Yeah, I threw three no-hitters in high school. I mean, you know, these guys are also good. I would have thought he at least had one. How about that? First one is a perfect game.
Yeah, and Dad pitched a long time in the big leagues. Kevin Jarvis was a great pitcher at Wake Forest. Never threw one, only a one-hitter. So not I'm trying to trivializing this, right? I never threw a no-hitter. Like it's easy to do.
No, I mean, there's been, what, I mentioned 31 perfect games in NCAA baseball history. Duke gets one with Bryce on Friday. But that is a really talented group now. This league is loaded.
Yeah, Duke lost its first game, and then in their – five games since, they've given up one run.
Yeah, six straight wins. Taking, like I mentioned, NC State and Clemson are 7-0. They've gotten off to great starts. There's four other teams at 6-1. North Carolina 6-2. But the league is deep. I mean, you're going to have six, seven, eight teams consistently ranked in the top 25. And I'd mentioned this last week that the guys from Perfect Game that were on with us on off campus on our afternoon radio show on Sirius XM had mentioned they thought there could be upwards to 20 teams from the ACC and the SEC in the postseason, just to show you how dominant those two leagues are in terms of the big picture. In this conference, again, you better be ready to go.
That's almost a third of the field.
I mean, think about that a second. Let that marinate a second. Again, who knows how it's going to play out. May even be larger, for all we know. But perfect game, man. 2 hours, 8 minutes.
2 hours and 8 minutes.
When you're doing a Duke baseball game next month, because you told me, in fact, I got Duke next time.
Yeah.
You're wishing for 208.
No, I'm going to get a rain delay, going to get a lightning delay, 5 hours and 22 minutes, you know. Yeah.
It happens. Welcome to baseball. All right, quick break. We come back. We've got to do this. The best of and the worst of. We haven't even addressed that yet, and there is a long, long list. All that is coming up. We'll take calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. Best of the weekend, though. We give you the better half first. All that's coming up right here. Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Streaming live on that ESPN app and Sirius XM 371.
Packer and Durham.
We're going to give you the best of the weekend. We told you what a crazy busy weekend it was in the world of ACC sports, and this list will prove it as we start with the guy that we just interviewed, Bryce Jarvis and perfection. 15 strikeouts, 94 pitches, and each, as you mentioned, 2 hours, 8 minutes. As Bryce told us, the first time in his life he's had a no-hitter, much less a perfect game. But, man, that was just ridiculously good.
Tough to pick against that for best of the weekend. I mean, I'm still amazed 2 hours and 8 minutes for a baseball game. Rob Manfred, wherever you are, take notes. Just have, well.
Rob's got enough problems.
Rob's got enough problems going on right now.
We'll get back to Rob. But nevertheless, Bryce Jarvis on the list this weekend. And just a, again, I mean, just fantastic effort with the perfect game. NC State wrestlers, they're getting some love. We've had a good time talking wrestling on this show with the duels every Friday night. But NC State clinches the regular season title. Perfect dual season, first undefeated dual season in 91 years at NC State. Pretty doggone good. And the Wolfpack getting it done. Game, set, match, pin, let's go. Next man up. Wolfpack getting it done. So we got to give a shout out to the NC State wrestling team getting the job, man. That's good.
That is one of the great televised events we do at ESPN when the NCAA tournament comes on for wrestling.
I heard it's awesome.
You get to see all the stories for all these wrestlers and so many great personal narratives and how they train and monitoring their food intake. And so many of them have unique backgrounds. If you've never watched the NCAA wrestling tournament on ESPN, make sure you watch it this year. Tremendous job by our crew covering that event.
I've had so many people say, man, you've got to go. Because they say in person, it is just fantastic. I've never been, but I heard it's unbelievable.
A live show from the NCAA wrestling tournament.
Right, there we go. Might have to leave the basement. Next up, UVA women. They are winning again. ACC Swimming and Diving Championships. They have been pretty good now. They have absolutely dominated. I mean, totally dominated. This is taking place over the weekend, but the ladies from UVA, game, set, match, swimming and diving title, another piece of hardware coming back to Charlottesville.
I'm always amazed because I can't swim.
No?
No.
Come on.
No, no. I can't swim. I sink like a stone. So any acts of athleticism that take place in H2O, you get points from me. That's why Aquaman is my ideal hero. Like, if I had one superpower or if I could be one superhero, I'd want to be Aquaman because he can swim.
You know what I want to be? I want to be the Invisible Man.
It's a little creepy, but okay.
I mean, an Aquaman's not?
Listen, come on. It's a power that I don't have. So, well, I'm envious.
Believe me, being invisible is one I don't have either. I'd like to be the Invisible Man. Eat whatever I want. That Aquaman thing, you got to stay disciplined.
Well, just because you're invisible doesn't mean like...
Dude, I could be 900 pounds.
I mean, you could, but you're still 900 pounds. Like, it doesn't mean you're...
How would you know?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know, but that reality would still exist for you. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Oh, okay, right. Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman.
Get that all over you. All right, up next, we go women's tennis. I told you, we're going all over the place. Wake Forest women's tennis coach Jeffrey Wishner wins match number 300. Little shout out there. 27 years as a head coach at Wake Forest. As a head coach, 10 at Wake. And again, program's out of sight. And so congratulations to Jeffrey taking care of business. Number 300 makes the list this weekend. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yes, sir. He knows what he's doing. Another championship is up next on our best of Wish. Well, actually, we'll get to this one first. Maybe it will be for the Tigers. 69%.
Nice.
From the field. I mean, come on now. Tigers only missed 14 shots the whole game. I'm telling you, they shoot 69% every night moving forward. They're going to be a tough out. 69%.
They're coming. They're coming offensively. Three straight games, they've been above 50%. Dawes has played real well down the stretch here of late. Amir Sims does so much as a versatile big man. Wouldn't surprise me if that's a team that can make a little run here late in the year from the ACC.
Now, remember, Florida State, when we talk about the big three in the league, Florida State, Duke, Louisville, whatever order you want to put them in, Florida State still has to go to Little John. I mean, we got the big game tonight with Florida State, Louisville. And, you know, if the Noles take care of business, and they've been fantastic at home, they still have to take it on the road in Little John and ask Louisville and ask Duke how much fun they had going there this year.
And Clemson's going to know what that win would do for its tournament chances. I mean, that's the one cherry that you need. You got to beat some of those top teams. And Clemson, again, you got a chance to knock off Florida State late in the season. That's a nice check mark in your column.
Yep, no doubt about that. But the Tigers are 69% from the field. Kind of a crazy performance they beat up on BC. All right, next is another championship. And that would be Notre Dame. Men and women, fencing, no problem. Now, I know nothing about fencing. I'm going to be the first one to tell you I know nothing about the rules other than the fact if I got a sword in my hand, I think I know what I need to do. But nevertheless, folks up there at South Bend, again, collecting more hardware, much like Virginia swimming.
I didn't realize that you were tethered.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like we are on this show. They only allow us to get so far in our chairs. But this is a whole different story. Again, don't know a whole lot about it. Might be something to put on the to-do list for us moving forward. But congratulations to both the men and the women at Notre Dame bringing home the fencing championship of the ACC.
It's a, what's the sword called? It's a
sword.
No, there's no, a name for it.
I just told you. It's a sword.
It's a sword.
That's what we're going with.
I'll take S words for 200,
I know nothing. If I'm invisible, you'll never touch me. I know nothing about fencing. Zero.
There's a name. It's a type of sword. It's not a saber. It's a...
there's another S word.
Someone's saying foil.
No, no.
I thought it starts with an E. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Okay.
Is it a French word? Because I can give
I think
you
it
French
is a
word.
French word.
So that's what it is.
We'll look it up.
I have no idea.
Epée. There you go. Epée. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's a sword.
Yeah.
Told you. I don't know what your problem. All right. Up next, we go lacrosse. All right. This is right in your wheelhouse. How about the ladies? You talked about the men a while ago at the top having a tough weekend.
A real good weekend.
The ladies were dominant. I mean, the ladies are not messing around. Six up, six down. Didn't matter who they were playing. They were going to win.
Tell you what, ACC lacrosse, men's and women's side, absolutely loaded this season. And unlike the men, ladies didn't have any slip-ups. Didn't matter. I play an Ivy League team. Hey, we got these guys. Men got stung by some poison ivy this weekend.
Mm-mm, not the ladies. I mean, they were really, really good. How about that? Six up, six down. This league, like you said, is just unbelievable.
There's a young lady at Boston College, Charlotte North. Watch her highlights. I mean, she's got some tricks, man. Behind the back, through the legs, walking SportsCenter top 10.
Can you imagine how good you'd be in lacrosse if you're invisible? Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Aquaman,
unless you're the goalie.
Aquaman's got nothing.
Unless you're the goalie.
Yeah. Forget it.
Or on defense. Then you're like what Seth Greenberg said. You're guarding yourself.
That would be true. Speaking of lacrosse, you mentioned this earlier. On the men's side, one individual just went crazy from an offensive standpoint.
Chris Gray, Boston U transfer, came to North Carolina after a phenomenal season at BU, and he went for 8 goals, a career high against Johns Hopkins. Carolina's undefeated, off to a great start. They're going to vault way up when the media poll comes out. I haven't checked. Maybe the new media poll might be out already. But you look at what this kid's done since coming to Carolina. Opening game, 4 goals, 2 assists. 1 goal, 4 assists against Mercer. 3 goals, 4 assists against Lafayette. 8 goals and an assist against Johns Hopkins. 27 points in 4 games. Mm. He's averaging almost 7 points per game. He is now the superstar for Carolina offensively, and they've got a lot of really good pieces around him. Offensively, you're going to need to score 15 goals to beat UNC. Defensively, jury's still out because the competition hasn't been great. They get a big test this weekend coming up against Denver. Got to go on the road, mile high, altitude.
Now, didn't Duke beat Denver earlier?
Duke did beat Denver earlier, but going and playing Denver at Peter Barton Stadium, that's a tough place to play. And Denver's got the greatest coach in the history of the sport, Bill Tierney, who's got 6 national championships. So that'll be a good test. It'll be a good test for Carolina, but this is a team you can dream on.
Okay. Up next, how about some teams that just went off in the second half? Now, we talked about your alma mater, Syracuse, put a 52 spot on Georgia Tech, did not look good at halftime. Merrick Dolezal told us, yeah, coach gave us a few choice words, and that was certainly an incentive. Syracuse had to win the game, and they did.
Had to win the game. To me, this was a season saver in a lot of ways. You lose at home to Georgia Tech, you know, with 3 of the next 4 on the road. You might be talking NIT, maybe CBI, maybe you stay home. Florida State down at the half against NC State. That team finds its resolve. Leonard Hamilton, for me, is the ACC Coach of the Year. Their depth shines as usual. And Clemson, I just put them in there. They had a great second half. They had a great 40 minutes, frankly. And their throttling of BC.
Yeah, the 69% shooting percentage, like
it's
said.
It's not bad.
You can handle some teams. You make every shot you look at. Final thing on the best of the weekend, we go back to lacrosse and Syracuse.
You knew there was going to be some lacrosse
today. Of course.
Today. You knew there was going to be some lacrosse.
We got to take advantage of your instinctive knowledge of the sport.
Drake Porter, the goalie for Syracuse, I'd call him an All-American, but he's Canadian, so maybe All-Canadian-American. Great flow, 18 saves in a win against Army, and a number of point-blank saves. He was the difference.
Wow, look at that one.
Drizzy was too good. Syracuse down 5-1. Porter kept them in the game. They rally for a 9-7 win. This is a team that'll be in the top two or three when the new poll comes out. Championship weekend aspirations. Don't have a lot of weaknesses. And the ACC is loaded with top-end elite goalies. Carolina's got a great one. Notre Dame looks like they have a great one. Virginia's goalie was the MOP of the tournament last year. Porter might be the best of the bunch.
And for Syracuse getting back in that conversation this year, there seems to be a sense of, hey, we need to get back to that point again.
Yeah, they're like the Yankees, right? So getting to the NCAA tournament or making the playoffs, it's kind of like, eh, whatever. What have you done for me? Getting to championship weekend is sort of the expectation, and it's been that way. But it's a program that's defined by championships, and they have not won a title since 2009. They only went to one Final Four in the last decade, really a lost decade for that program. New decade, they've got a really good team. Championship weekend is not just the goal this year to me. That is the lowest of expectations for Syracuse.
There you go. The best of the weekend from the ACC when we return the other side. The worst of the weekend. We will address all of it, and we'll take calls, too, if you're in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN. Anish Shroff filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham here on ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app. Not to mention the good folks at SiriusXM Channel 371. Packer and Durham, as I mentioned, Anish filling in for Wes. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get to your calls here momentarily. We now get to, unfortunately, the worst of the weekend. And unfortunately, there was a bunch to pick from. And before we get started with this, you may see a growing theme. And this would at least be on my selections, not necessarily Anish's. But last week, the boys up in Bristol unveiled something to me, which I didn't even know existed, which was the KenPom luck list or unlucky list. And I was like, what is that garbage? And you either win or you lose. You either play well or you don't. I want to hear about all this. So I started mocking that teams that lose were just unlucky. Had nothing to do with X's and O's or execution or good plays or poor coaching or whatever.
Jim Boeheim's on line one.
Whatever. Right. I mean, because he went off on KenPom last week. So nevertheless, if you sense a theme this weekend, if you watched the show last week, it'll make sense. You know, I know you don't want to be unlucky, right?
Or unlucky with quotes.
That's it. You got it. All right. With that said, worst of the weekend. Unlucky. Let's go glob. That's it.
Glob.
The unlucky glob. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, NC State, Pitt, Georgia Tech, BC, and Miami. Everybody on the men's side of hoops.
Uh-huh.
Very unlucky this weekend.
Virginia Tech was so close.
The Hokies, so close.
What did they lose by?
They lost by 24.
24. How unlucky.
Right. North Carolina lost by 17.
Had just like 30 things gone right.
Right.
Those two teams could have won.
All right. BC lost by 18. Miami lost by 16. You get the drift. Just unlucky.
Unlucky.
Happens.
Them's the breaks.
That's what I understand. The KenPom numbers just have to be going through the roof on this list. Up next, Boston College, Jim Christian. Very unlucky. Why? He's yet to beat Clemson.
Wow.
How about that? Clemson remains the only ACC team that coach has not defeated.
That's how you win trivia at bar night right there.
That's a bar bet right there. That's exactly right. Again, unlucky. Forget about the fact that Clemson shot 69% for the game. Just unlucky.
I'll tell you what, though. Jim Christian, there were a lot of people putting him on the hot seat before the season started.
They've had a good year.
And at this point, wondered, hey, if... You know, is BC already looking ahead to the next guy? I think in a lot of ways, he's done a really nice coaching job. That team's got 7 conference wins. Very few of us expected that. This is after losing Kai Bowman last year. They have surpassed expectations, and I hope BC keeps him around.
I do, too. I agree with you. I think he's a really good coach. But they've had a weird year in the sense that when they've been bad,
they've been really bad.
They've just gotten destroyed. And then they have found ways to win really good games. I mean, they are like much less like the glob. I mean, they've had highs. They've had lows. Nothing ever seems to be consistent one way or the other. But nevertheless, Jim's still looking for that first W. Unlucky against the Tigers. Up next, Duke Wrestling. You've had a very unlucky season. Duke, 0-17. Unlucky. That's what it is, Amish. I'm just telling you right now. 0-17. Where are the KenPom numbers? Anish, tell me, how in the world can you have KenPom numbers of luck? You either have it or you don't. Just telling you.
Is there a correlation between luck into talent? Like, is there some kind of coefficient that he uses to put that together?
I have no, like I told you, I had no idea it existed a week ago. And it's been there apparently for years. I've never seen it.
Luck.
I think you better have good talent, right? If you have zero talent, I don't care about your luck. You're not going to win anything.
What if Duke Wrestling had great luck?
They'd be 17-0. They'd be like their brethren there on Tobacco Road, NC State. Now, so, we've had all the coaches on. This was a rebuild year for Duke.
Okay.
All right, this wasn't one of those. They're going to be better down the road.
All right.
Up next,
down the road.
Well, you never know. Depends what KenPom says. Up next, North Carolina men's basketball program. Very unlucky. The Heels are 0 for February.
In their defense, they have been unlucky this season in certain areas, one being health. Guys in and out of the lineup, Cole Anthony missing a chunk of the season, but 17 losses for UNC. They're sitting at the bottom of the ACC. If they don't find a way to win a few games down the stretch, they are looking at a school record for losses in a season, which is currently 20. And they've only lost more than 17 games once. That was that 2001-2002 season.
Matt Doherty.
20 losses in Matt Doherty's second season. So historically bad season in Chapel Hill for hoops.
No doubt. But I will tell you again, NC State, number 5 in our glob, right? Number 1 in the glob, really. Number 5 in our accounting list at North Carolina this week. Just saying. It's the league, man. It's just the year we're having. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. Would not be surprised at all if North Carolina won that game.
No. In that game, listen, they almost beat Duke, right? So those kind of games you're going to get up for.
They were unlucky.
Those kind of games, yes, they were unlucky in that game. That game, they were unlucky. I mean, that Trey Jones play, how many times have we seen that work? Never.
Ever.
That's the fake to third, throw to first, or fake to first, throw to third move in baseball. That's the basketball version.
You know, hidden ball trick or any of those.
Never works.
Nevertheless, all right, I'm not done. With unlucky, tough weekends. We talked about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Miami baseball, number 1 team in the country, playing number 2 Florida. Very unlucky against the Gators.
See, this one unlucky fits a little bit because defensive miscues.
Yeah, a little bit. And all of these fit. What are you talking about, Anish? Everybody's unlucky.
Some fit better than others.
It's got nothing to do with winning and losing. It's got everything to do about lucky or unlucky. That's what I was told last week. Come on. Canes will be back, though. Disappointing for sure, but that Miami team is very talented. So, again, it's early into the season. Man, we're only 10 days into the season. So, disappointing, needless to say.
Would you rather be lucky or good if you're Miami?
Yes, all the above.
All the above.
I want to be all of them.
Both.
Yeah, I want to be Aquaman and Invisible. All of it. If I can be greedy, I'll be greedy with that one.
Find a lot of fish that way.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
Well, you mentioned UNC. I got lacrosse, where actually luck did play a real factor.
Trying to
a couple of the ACC heavyweights, perennial powers, both national semifinalists last year, Virginia and Duke, fell to Ivy League schools this past weekend. Virginia going down to Princeton. Princeton's goalie, Eric Peters, played out of his mind and made some incredible saves. So luck was involved there, but the defending champions, the Cavaliers, go down 16-12 at Klockner. Now they get a chance to get back onto their feet tomorrow night in Charlottesville, 5 p.m. ESPNU. I'll be there. Virginia and High Point. High Point beat Virginia last year, by the way. Penn took down Duke right here in Charlotte, 14-11. Duke was leading that game 11-10 and then decided to stop scoring for the last 12-plus minutes. Penn closed the game on a 4-0 run. Quakers beat Duke without Sam Handley, who is Penn's best player and one of the best midfielders. So, unlucky weekend for Virginia and Duke lacrosse.
You can't go the last 12 minutes and not score. That's incredibly unlucky.
It's a bold strategy. It's a bold strategy.
I would not suggest that for any sport ever.
And the last one I had was NC State, right? NC State, you had a chance. You beat Duke. You're up at the half on Florida State. You have a chance to cement your place in the field. Mary Swanson said yes. Said, meet me here at 8 o'clock. You had a chance. And you didn't show up. And Florida State, 40 points in that second half. There was a bit of a free throw disparity, too, 24-3 in favor of the Noles in the second half.
Kevin Keats wasn't real thrilled.
No, especially with that game being in Raleigh. And the visiting team gets 21 more free throws in the second half.
He may get a phone call, don't you think?
Maybe.
There could be a Mike Bray-like effort, charity effort.
I think so. But I said this before. I really like Markell Johnson. I like Kevin Keats. At times, NC State looks like a team that can get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. At other times, sometimes in the same game, you watch them and you say, this isn't an NCAA tournament team. That was an opportunity. They had 20 minutes there to really make a bold-faced case. We beat Duke and Florida State in the same week. We're a tournament team. We're here instead. You got one out of two, which is still okay, but it was the way they lost on Saturday. So now there's still work to do. They're not a lock.
And as Seth Greenberg pointed out with us earlier today, this North Carolina game coming up, you do not want to give one away. A lot of pressure in that game on NC State. Yeah,
because that hurts you. That loss is a bad loss now. That hurts you.
Yep. All right, quick call before we go to break. Again, 844-SAY-ACCN. Dean in North Carolina has been holding patiently. Dean, it's all yours.
Hi, guys. Mr. Packer.
Good morning.
I want you to, yes, I want to say, first of all, you are the greatest announcer I've ever listened to. Long-time fan, first-time caller. My question to you is, what does UNC have to do to even have any shot at the NCAA title tournament this year?
It's easy. All you got to do is win five games in Greensboro. If you win five in Greensboro, you're in. Guaranteed lock. If you're in, if you can do that, you're in. Anything short of that, you're out. I don't know what else to tell you. Now, we had a guy call last week, John, I think also from North Carolina, that said he had no confidence in Louisville, no confidence in Florida State, no confidence in Duke. And he predicted that North Carolina was going to go to Greensboro and win the ACC tournament. Now, I tried to point out to him that, you know, North Carolina started off 5-0. Since then, they've lost 17 of 22. And basically, in 4 months, they've won three ACC games. So to go to Greensboro, you got to win five in 5 days. I think that's kind of a reach. Not just me. It's kind of a reach, given what this team's gone through, the injuries and everything else. But they'll get a fresh start. They'll get a chance like everybody else that shows up in Greensboro. But North Carolina's only means to get to the NCAA tournament is to go WWW, five straight, 5 days.
You're underestimating the power of belief, Pack.
No, I believe that. I'm 100% in belief that if they win all five in Greensboro, they are going to the NCAA tournament. Guaranteed lock.
And if they get lucky enough, they just could.
You would have to have a lot of luck. Everyone needs luck, as we pointed out with KenPom.
I would maybe.
But anything short of that, Anish, I just do not see them in the tournament.
I would maybe temper expectations if you're a Tar Heel fan. Just temper them for this season. They're going to be good next year again.
They're going to be fine next year.
They got a great recruiting class come in. But just for this year, just bring it down. Hey, you've had a great run. Roy's won three national championships. Sometimes shift happens.
Really?
Shift, yes.
Can we use that?
Shift. My high school teacher used to say that.
Have you used that yet on the lacrosse or baseball game?
Yeah, I probably have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Shift happens.
Like the shift key on the keyboard.
I heard you perfectly clear.
Cool. Just want to make sure people didn't think I know I said shift.
How's your coffee?
Coffee's great.
By the way, coming up, we have something cool for you. Our next All Access with Carolina Basketball is tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Your unprecedented All Access Pass gets you never-seen-before footage and sounds from North Carolina practices, workouts, games, and other team-related activities. Roy Williams and the boys tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, sharp. Get that one all over you. All right, we come back. We got more stuff for you. Again, you can jump on board if you're in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN. What to watch tonight? There's a bunch of stuff for you. We'll get into all that stuff. Again, your phone calls if you're in the mood. Anish filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham. right here on ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM Channel 371.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
This is 100% a job. It starts as early as 6 in the morning. We set up the court. We bring out the exercise equipment. We help out Doug and Jonas with whatever they need. And then during practice, we take stats, we keep scores.
Student managers kind of have a whole lot of roles, a lot of little things, anything that the team needs. If they're here for practice, film, games, if they're here, we'll be here.
It's definitely a very serious role. There are obviously times where we joke around, but they're the things that need to be done, and they're very important. So, I mean, in that sense, we take our jobs very seriously. But I think the most fun part about our jobs is being able to see the more casual side of the players and coaches and get to know that side of those people. Garrison came up to me right after the game, and he was still in his uniform, and he just said, "I need a manager, and I need to shoot." And I said, "I'm here for you, and we're going to go do it." Really shows his dedication, his desire to get better, and I'm just glad I could help him.
It was the freshman's first week on campus. We were working camp till like 12 at night, and Cole texted me asking if I wanted to go work out with him at 2 in the morning. And that is not the only time I've been here past midnight, and not going to be the last time.
Two a.m.
No problem with that. I'm normally up at 2 a.m. Go out and shoot some hoops at 2. Come on over.
Take Chester and Fuller for a walk.
Yeah, man. 3 a.m. That's the walk time. That's tonight, by the way. 8 p.m. All right. Episode 5, Inside Carolina Basketball. There are some. There's two games of note tonight, ACC wise. One men's, one women's. The ladies' side, the Play for K game, which we talked about, and. Legend of KU. You got Duke NC State tonight on the ladies' side. Wolfpack still trying to chase Louisville at the top of the standings on that front. But what that game stands for, what it means, we talked about what an incredible lady, what a great coach Kay was, and the 15th annual game, really cool that NC State's turned that into a phenomenal tradition.
Raising money for cancer awareness, honoring KU, one of the great figures, men or women, across all sports.
Right.
In the history of the ACC, we've taken tragedy, we've turned it into a way to build, and we've taken a legacy, and we've made it even greater. And to me, this is really not about basketball. It's not about Duke and NC State. It's about KU. It's about fighting something that impacts all of us, and it certainly impacted KU's family, but a chance to make a difference. So always special to see how NC State responds and treats that day. But Play for K, that's a special day in college basketball, men or women.
K passed away in 2009. I just think it's really, really fantastic that NC State started this tradition. This will be the 15th year they've done it. Last year, they raised over like $200,000 for the game. And on top of it, the game should be out of sight. Duke's playing extremely well. NC State still in the hunt at the very top. So again, great game tonight. NC State and Duke on the ladies' side. The men's side, another monster game. Louisville at Florida State. We keep talking about the three big teams in this league. No disrespect to Virginia or anybody else, but these three have been the most consistent. I'm talking about Duke, Florida State, and Louisville. And the Noles have been nothing short of great at home. They've won 21 straight. And here comes a Louisville team, a team they beat earlier this year at the Yum Center. They shot 55%. But Louisville, chip on shoulder. Hey, this is what you want. Late February, early March. It's time to get some showdown games, and we get one tonight.
Florida State won the first meeting at the Yum Center handily. You mentioned they're unbeaten at the Tucker Center. What impresses me with Florida State is, again, the depth. They can roll 11, 12 guys at you. They can match up to whatever you're doing. You want to play small? Okay, we'll play small. You want to play big? Okay, we'll play big. You're going to start Malik Williams? We can match up with that. even if you're playing a big guy who can step out and knock down outside shots and create some mismatches. Florida State, because of its depth and because of quality depth, has an answer for almost everything. And if you've watched this team from start to finish this season, yeah, they lost the first ACC game to Pittsburgh. That was the first game of the season, not just the conference season. Remember, the ACC opened up with league play. I don't put a ton of stock into that. Close losses to Virginia, close losses to Duke, both on the road. They have been in every game, and at home they've been almost invincible. I like Florida State tonight.
I think when in doubt, go with the home team. It's one of those routines, but I'm really curious to see what Jordan Ward does tonight. We have talked a lot about the ACC Player of the Year race. There's a number of different areas you could go. If you'd have asked me this question 3 weeks ago, I probably would have told you Jordan Ward is the leader in the clubhouse. Don't think I'd tell you that today, but he has a chance tonight. Louisville has a chance tonight under a spotlight game to say, guess what? I'm that guy. Let's see what we can do.
Couple other things at stake tonight. The winner of this game, you're probably looking at a solid 2 seed when the next projection comes about.
No doubt.
And going forward, again, depending on what happens in the conference tournament, you know, you might have a shot at potentially the 1 line. And in a year where there's been as much chaos as there's been in college basketball, boy, I think high seeds matter even more so than usual. They always matter, but boy, you want to get the best matchups you can this year because there is not a lot of parity. Even in a 3-14 game, I would expect at least one 3-14 upset this year.
Me too.
So if you get, you know, the difference between a 1 and 2 is going to be titanic this year. And now the winner of this game, I think all of a sudden you can start think about, hey, what do we have to do to maybe get on that 1 line because it'll be in reach.
Well, I think this past weekend in college basketball, not just the ACC, was the perfect snapshot of what you can expect. Number 1, number 2, number 4, number 7, number 9, down. 9 first place teams in their league lost this weekend. 9. I mean, that's the world that we live in right now in college basketball. And, you know, while the ACC's perception is, oh, it's a down league, we only put 5 teams in the dance, what is not a mistake is at the very top, Duke, Louisville, Florida State, all good enough to get to Atlanta and win a national championship.
100%. And we could be getting a preview tonight of maybe a Final Four game, maybe a championship game, maybe an ACC championship game.
Should be great. Listen, great job as always.
Appreciate
it. Love having you hang out. Westerham scheduled to be back tomorrow. Great job by everybody back in Bristol. Chrissy, Josh, Drew, the whole crew. Robert's back from Vegas. He's on fumes. We are back tomorrow, 7-ish, right here on ACC Network.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.